Hey, Kareem.
Hi, Doreen.
It's another show with Angel Coaches, and I'm excited to be here tonight. You and I have had a lot of good stuff happen this week, and so I think with that, we're going to share with people a little bit about what's been going on with us, but share with them what the show's about tonight, because I know you've really helped me this week, and I appreciate it.
Oh, you help me all the time, so we're here for each other. But the last couple of weeks, you and I have been going through some, you know, transformations and, you know, kind of reflecting back on our childhood and our childhood with our parents and really going through a release of that. So tonight's show is inspired by that. And we're talking about the power of forgiveness and most importantly, forgiving our parents. We're also going to be talking about the unique dynamic of soul families and the past lives and the importance of looking at the past lives with our parents and the karma. And, we're also going to be talking about the angels that help us on this journey towards forgiveness. So that's what tonight's show is about.
Well, that's always good, because it's good to know that you're never by yourself. And also, it's good to know that you chose this. You know, we choose our families. We choose our parents, and our parents choose us. I remember when I was 16, I'm going to share this with you if it's okay. My mom was grounding me for coming in late, and, you know, and whatever. You know how you are when you're 16. And I'll never forget, she was just so mean, you know, as we think parents are. And she goes, "Well, you remember, Tyree, you chose us as your family." And my mom was like,
so "I think I can do whatever I want."
And I was like, "Mom," I was thinking to myself, "What? You know, there must have been an angel, because my mother was not like that until a little bit later. You know, she got into Reiki and all that kind of thing." But I looked at her. I said, "I would definitely not choose this freak show. I can promise you that." Anyway, my mom says, "Well, you just bought yourself another weekend at home." I said, "Great." So, that right there is, I just remember that. It was very, very, you know, it was funny, not funny then, funny a little later when I thought about it, and just kind of super funny now, because it's like, you know, that's the angels talking to me through my mother. God bless her, and God bless those angels, because you and I have, for the past couple of weeks, as you said, have gone through a lot of different things. And I think one of the things is, let's talk about lessons that everybody has, lessons that they come to the planet to learn, or, you know, or soul agreements that they come here to learn, and lessons they come to learn in this lifetime or any lifetime. Can you explain a little bit about that? Because I think your book that you're reading really, really gave a lot of clarity about it too, as well.
Right. Because, you know, like you said, we choose our parents, you know, for the purpose of assisting in our soul's growth towards spiritual enlightenment. And that's the whole point of why we're doing this little merry-go-round thing that we call life. Not really a merry-go-round. It's, you know, it's more like a roller coaster ride, right? But, you know, the purpose of that is to bring about experiences into our life to really nourish us and to help in our soul's growth if we choose, because it's all about choice again. So, you know, we go through these lives, you know, with our soul families, and we choose our parents just like they choose us. And we have agreements with them to help us, you know, partner up in the assistance of learning really important lessons for our soul's growth. So it's not just arbitrary. It's not like, you know, we agreed, okay, you're going to be my parent and you're going to give me a life of living hell just for the sake of that, and you're gonna ground me for no apparent reason, and we are just not gonna get along, and I'm just gonna, you know, live the rest of my life with such anger and resentment, and that's the purpose of this relationship. That's not the purpose.
Yeah, right.
As much as we want to believe and stay in that place of like negativity, that's not the reason why we have, you know, the experiences that we go through, not just with our parents, but with everybody in our lives. It's really to teach us an important lesson, it's actually to give us a gift, not to take anything away from us. It's actually to give us a gift, and it's our job to see what that gift is, you know, by kind of evaluating, why am I going through these experiences, you know, with my parents? What was their soul trying to teach me? Not exactly what our parents, what their conscious mind was trying to teach us, but what was their soul? What was my agreement with their souls What were they trying to give me in return? What am I supposed to learn here? So, you know, and then this book that I'm reading, which is all about karma and, you know, past lives, sometimes, you know, just like with your own personal experience, there's a reason why our family dynamics are the way that they are. You know, whether we grow up in a harmonious family where we're all, you know, where everybody's really close and loving and giving, we earned that dynamic, and all of us will reach, you know, the highest vision of every aspect of our lives. That's the ultimate goal. That's the ultimate, you know, place that we're all going to get to. But if you see other people that have like such harmonious families and all that, it's because they've earned that through several hundreds of past lives of going through the lessons that we're all going through right now and really learning from them. So when we are going through our own challenging experiences, it's part of our enlightenment. It's part of our journey. It's part of our growth. And we each have different lessons that our parents have were brought into this life to teach us. And, you know, everybody's lesson is different, just like mine with yours, like we've been talking. My lesson is different from your lesson that your parents gave you, although we have very similar experiences, which is, you know, crazy. That's why we're so connected, is similar experiences, but different lessons.
Corinne, I have to tell you, and talking about the, you know, the circumstances, because, and we'll share with you know, again, what our lessons are, but when you would tell me your stories, I could, about your, you know, your mom and your dad and certain things that you would go through when you were a kid and how you would have, I was like, how did she just escape all that and leave that? Because, you know, for me, my lesson is worthiness, right? And self-worthiness. That's a big lesson for me. And I know that you and I went through very parallel circumstances, you know, and yet you were able to say, you know what, you can share with what you learned with that and how you overcame it, because your lesson is different. And I was like holding on to it forever and ever and ever for a couple lifetimes, but one in particular. But mine is self-worthiness, and yet the circumstances are different. The circumstances are very similar. The lessons are different. What was your lesson? What's your lesson to learn this lifetime?
To trust. And that has shown up in every aspect of my life, not only with my parents, but it started with my parents. You know, and then carried through all my personal relationships, my friendships, all of that. The central theme here for me is trust. But my parents were the facilitators of that. They're the ones that I had the first experience of that lesson was with them. And, absolutely.
Yeah, my own with the self-worthiness started when I was a child with my own folks, my mom and my dad. And I want anybody to listen, because I feel like we probably need to say this. You come in and you love your parents, but remember the lesson. There's always lessons here. Sometimes you don't love your parents. So I'm not going to say that you do. In my situation, I know I love mine. I know in yours that you love yours, and they have been great teachers. But it started with them. But in every aspect of my life, the worthiness issues kept popping up. What did you compare it to? It was like wearing a big bodysuit. No, one of those.
I said it felt like a rubber suit.
Yeah,
a thick rubber suit that you were wearing is what it felt like.
yeah. So, I got a real eye opener this week about it. And you know, and people that are listening, I want you guys to know. And Corinne, you and I chatted about it too. Sometimes, you know, it's been a challenging road this week, because I got super sick, right? Did not feel good, mm-hmm. You know, getting all the clarity on it, and realizing what it was. But, and I know that you've had your own issues with that, you know, your memory, you have a little bit memory situations going on there. I was like, great. It's because of what your self-discovery, you know? But you helped me understand something. You said, Tari, I asked for the blocks to be removed, and they have been. And because of that, what happened to you when you asked for the blocks to be removed? What kind of things? You've been having lots of dreams, and I'll share mine too as well, but what's been going on with you?
Oh, I can't even describe it in words, really. I still haven't really quite figured out what's happening here, but because I was able to, you know, forgive, I wanted to set myself free, and that was the whole purpose. This is what has allowed me to embark on this journey, is I realized how much of an impact, you know, my childhood experiences have impacted me, you know, in my adult life. And I wanted to be set free of that and really release myself from all of those blocks, all of the negative emotions that I experienced that my parents helped, you know, facilitate. It wasn't their fault, you know, but, you know, they definitely created experiences so that I could learn from the challenges. And I realized that I carried it with me throughout my entire life up until this point. And I just wanted to be free of that. And, you know, in doing this, you know, the first step for forgiveness is to obviously, you know, recognize what forgiveness isn't. And that is when you choose to put a block up, when you choose not to feel any emotions, when you choose to step away or ignore the situation, that's what forgiveness is not. And that's not helping the situation. And that's what I was, you know, doing, was I wasn't allowing myself to process all the emotions. And the next step of forgiveness is to allow yourself to feel everything. You've got to allow yourself to process every single emotion that you feel from every experience that you've ever gone through with your parents and with your childhood. And it's going to be painful and it's going to be challenging. And but know that there's strength in doing that. I thought being strong was to kind of ignore it because I'm not playing the victim, because I'm ignoring it. And I'm just gonna, you know, and that to me was strength. Like if I'm not allowing it to affect me on any level, then that means I'm being strong and it's not affecting me. And that was farthest from the truth because I really was. I was suppressing those emotions instead of facing them head on. And so you've got to really face them head on. Allow yourself to feel all the emotions from it, right? Because in doing that, then you can finally release it. And forgiving isn't condoning the things that you've gone through with your parents. You know, it just means that you are choosing that you are no longer the victim, that you have the capacity in your own right as an adult right now to shape your own life, and you have the responsibility to do so right now at this moment. It is your right. You are not your past. You are not those experiences, and those experiences are only brought about to make you a much more stronger person, closer to the spiritual enlightenment that we're all here to attain. So for me, it was, you know, for you, it was different. You actually felt the physical ailment, you know, like you actually got sick because you were allowing yourself to process everything. For me, it was just, you know, moments of a week of crying hysterically, but you know, really feeling the pain from everything. And honoring that part of me, allowing myself to say that it's okay to feel this pain. You know, I'm recognizing it, but it is not my truth. And with each pain that I brought into my awareness, I then allowed myself to feel the full capacity of it and then to release it. And I had to do it like step by step. I had to bring up every single experience in my life that I felt was bringing me down and not allowing me to be my true self. And then one by one, recalling that experience and then letting that go. You've got to see and nobody's perfect. Just like we as parents ourselves, when we have children, are not perfect and we're going to make mistakes. And you have to know that your parents, you know, were doing the best that they could. But most importantly, they were doing what they were supposed to do based upon your soul agreement that you made with them to teach you certain things so that you could learn.
That's true. And I remember, cause I know that it's been a challenging time for you the past couple of weeks, but I watched you and I go, wow, she's really edgy today or you would be in tears. And I go, I really want to change certain things about my own life and get closer to my angels, to my, you know, my God. However, I see God and each of us may see it differently. And most of all, really develop a good relationship with myself. And I'd done a lot of work with that, but I'll never forget, I had talked to you one night, probably about a week or so ago, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to say, let all these blocks be gone blocks, and take them away, angels. I forgot the one little thing, though. Don't do it hard. Make it easier, okay? big thing there. Anybody's listening, ask them to make it easy, okay? And you have been there for me, and we have been for each other. So one of the things that you had told me that really helped me when I got started on this is that book that you're reading, you said that I have I have had diabetes. Let me back it up. I've had diabetes since I spent my 10th birthday in the hospital. Got lots of presents. Didn't get a lot of sugar, but got lots of presents. That was a great birthday. So, and I was in the hospital, so even better, you know, so everybody gave me presents. But no one in my family has diabetes. So, you said something that resonated with me. And what was it that you said in the book that you read it from, or you gave me the information? I was like, oh, there's something there. So what was it that you said?
It was about, and the book that I'm reading is called Karma and Reincarnations by Barbara Martin. She was saying how to identify, you know, whether certain experiences in your life are karmic. You know, for families and their dynamics, that is, you know, almost always a karmic, essence. But she was saying specifically, you know, how you know something is karmic is when it shows up, if you have a physical ailment that has no explanation, that shows up on its own without any kind of history or background that we're at least like not genetic. Like for you, for example, it's the diabetes. No one else in your family has it. So that for you is a karmic tie that you've carried forward from a past life into this life.
Right. Yeah. And you're right about that. Now, when I'm going back in years ago, when I was younger, it was just so hard. I learned to accept it and then not even care if I have it. And, because I take good care of myself, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Except last year I went in the hospital because I got really sick with swine flu, and the angels, and I shared the story with you before, the angels came to me and says, you're going to release your diabetes and it's not going to be a part of you any longer. I'm like, who cares about that? Just heal me now. Take all this stuff away. But they didn't. Or they did. They just didn't use it in the form that, you know, doing the big zap and you're out of the, you know, and you're feeling 100%. I had to go through it for a few days. Anyway, so when you told that to me, I was like, wow, there's something here. And I knew that it, you know, I always felt like it was something that I needed to learn, because Louise Hay says that diabetes is about not enjoying the sweetness of life, you know, and if you're not feeling good about who you are or worthy, how can you enjoy the sweetness of life, right? Well, it's going to make me cry. And so that was one thing that I did, and I remember going to bed. It was back on Monday, I think, and I told you about this. Is it okay if I share the dream? Because I think that would be, you know, we're talking about forgiveness and forgiveness of your parents, and most of all, forgiving yourself, because there's nothing really to forgive when you get down to the bottom line of it. But I went to bed and had this dream. And remember, I'd asked for the blocks to be removed, and, you know, when you told me that about diabetes, I was like, okay, and so I was swimming with thoughts, and you were telling me a lot about the book that you were reading, great book, by the way, so I can't wait to start it myself, but in the dream, I saw this big, I was in my little red Miata, and I was driving up this huge hill, and I go, I'm not going fast enough, and then all of a sudden, I thought I was going to flip over, and I'm in another part, I don't know, I'm in another dimension, and I look up and I see this really good looking guy, and I go, Dad? And he shakes his head briefly, he goes, yes. And I go, he doesn't look like Dad, but, you know, because my father's a handsome man, but he's 72, and, you know, his girlfriend's 50, just to let you know, so he's still happening. And I was like, Dad? And, you know, as I said, and he shook his head, and then I briefly saw my daughter, and then I saw my mother. And I was like, my dad looks so great. And a couple days later, I'm in the grocery store thinking, I told you about the dream. First of all, let me back up. I told you about the dream, and you were talking to me, but I just briefly mentioned my father, okay, and what I saw on the other side. I was more concerned with, I couldn't go up my spiritual path. That's what I thought the dream was saying to me. And you reassured me and told me, you said, no, that's not what it means at all. Forgot totally about seeing my young guy that said he was my dad but didn't look like my dad, who was about 30 years old and a beautiful man, and my mom and my daughter. And so I'm in the grocery store two nights ago, and I was like, you know what? My father probably has discovered some elixir for youth. I need to talk to him about that. So that's probably what that dream meant. Because, you know, I'm obsessed about aging. Anyway, so With all the relationships that I'm going through and with, you know, guys in my life, because I don't know if any you've ever had a bad relationship. I'm joking because, you know, not too bad, but a challenging one. I've had a lot of them. I taught you about it. And what did you say? Because you got the great best part of the story. So share with everybody if it's okay.
I'm sorry. My microphone just cut out there for a second. For what?
For share with everyone about when I told you you were working with me and talking to me about forgiveness and about worthiness and, you know, instances in my life. And I told you about the, you know, going on the mountain and then meeting the man over on the other side, who was my dad. And you had an experience and you said, Tarie, I was reading this chapter or reading this book and I ask you, and you ask if this was past life or present life where I had this issues with my own worthiness. Right?
Right.
And did you see a picture of my father? Tell the story, because it's
you want me to tell the story about the past life that we went to. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't know where you were going with that. Okay. I remember you telling me about the dream, right? So we were talking about, okay, so where does this, we were trying to do some kind of investigation. Okay. So why is it that in this life, I had asked you, I remember I said, do you feel that this lesson of self-worthiness comes from this life, or it's coming from a past life that you carried into this life to now, you know, to fix and to heal and to learn from. And when we were looking at this, I was asking spirit, I said, you know, show me where this is coming from, if it's this life or a past life. And actually, I had seen this vision. Remember when I was reading this book, it popped in my head, and then that, you remember, I freaked out because I was trying to recall the energy of it, and then I finally got it. It took me a moment there, because I wanted so much to help you with this. I was like, oh my God, I have to remember, and then I was killing myself with my bad memory again, and I just said, okay, just calm down. I remember you're telling me, you're like, just breathe, Kareem, calm down, take a breath, slow down.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I know. And so, the past life that we went to, so interesting. Was a past life where you were around like 18 years of age, and your father in this life was a young man in that life that you had a crush on. And he also liked you too, in this life, but he was like, he looks like Prince Charming, so good looking, and a lot of women liked him. He was so good looking, but, he made fun of you. Mm-hmm. And didn't own up to his own feelings for you, and made fun of you to all of, to everybody, to all the your peers and friends and everybody around, would make fun of you and point at you and say that, look at this silly girl, she likes me, you know, ha ha ha. And, but then, you know, every couple of moments when you guys would be alone, you would see, you know, his true heart come out, and he'd be really kind to you. And then the next moment he would just start making fun of you again, and you just couldn't understand. And you were so hurt by this. And you didn't feel that you were good enough, for him to really love you back in return, because he just kept making fun of you. And ultimately he ended up marrying one of your friends, who is your mother.
In this life.
Yeah. And, he would continue to make fun of you. They both would make fun of you. And then in that life, you know, they had a child who actually is your daughter in this life. And your mother in that life, who was your husband's, you know, wife. She was very jealous of you, of her own child, all of that, and for that life, it never got resolved. That karma never got resolved, because you would see them. I mean, when I tap into this life, you would see them all the time, everywhere you went, because they were in the same town that you were in, and they would always make fun of you. You never understood. You never got that resolved. You never confronted it with him and said, hey, you know, what happened here or anything like that. You just, that life just, it never got resolved. And so you carried that karma into this life, where you saw the same patterns repeating again. But now you have a chance in this life. And I remember I asked you, I said, do you feel like in this life you are resolving that karma? And you said yes, because you had, you know, you've made amends with both your parents. You've understood, you know, and forgave them for what you had gone through as a child. And it helped you to see the dynamic between your mother and your daughter too, as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to say this, and I forgot to say, in the dream, I remember feeling very exposed when I saw my dad and my mother. And I knew, you know, my father was this Prince Charming and my mom was beautiful too. And I briefly saw my daughter, but I felt extremely exposed and wanted to hide. And this has all been this week, by the way. So, it's just been really challenging. So, I forgive them both. But especially with my mom, because my mom transferred out of here, so she's been showing up over here to me. And she gave me a message. She goes, "I really love you." And she goes, "There's never been a time I haven't loved you." And she goes, "You and I have worked out our karma, and we are in a good place." My dad and her, because everybody's got lessons, just the way it is. My father and her have their own lessons, and she's choosing to work out the karma on the other side, you know, with him. But the one thing that I find amusing, and I want to say this to anybody who's listening that knows my daughter, she knows nothing about this, so don't tell her. Sorry, I haven't even told her, you know. Could you imagine? She's a teenager. You know, it would give her, like, she'd be able to stand on her soapbox about my mom and her, because they never got along. But one of the things that I realize is every thought counts. It does. And, you know, and you think you have these great parents, and you do, but they're here to teach you lessons. And so remember, the person that you may have a problem with in this lifetime could show up as your mom or your dad in the next lifetime, or the person that you love the most and you don't have integrity, first of all, with yourself. Then I'm going to tell you, and just from my own experience, I know you, Corrine, have similar things with your own issues with trust, because I know you went back in past lives, that it's going to show up with you again, and because you choose those family members to help you work it out. So if you're arguing and fighting with somebody, or you're not being the best you can be, I promise you, you're going to deal with that again. I know this without a shadow of a doubt. Doesn't mean that you can't have love, okay? It doesn't, all right? Because you can. I've experienced love myself. But when I got that in with the worthiness issue that I'm dealing with, I realized it was the first time you know, that I've ever felt that I really could release my diabetes, and that was such a big key step of letting it go. You know what I mean? And it was challenging to be on this call tonight or on the show tonight to say, hey, I have worthiness issue, but I'm working it out. So anyway, I hope everybody.
Well, you gotta own it, because part of owning it, right? No, you know, is the awareness of it. If you're not aware of it, then you don't know what you're supposed to be learning, right? So the fact that you are aware of it is definitely the first step. And I actually was going to tell you, I think it's interesting because, you know, my sister and I, we grew up in the same family. Her own lesson within that she got from my parents is worthiness. And I forgot to tell you that actually hit me. I was taking a shower just about an hour ago. That is her lesson, and she's totally aware of it, and she knows, and she's on her path to forgiveness right now. But, you know, just last week I was talking to her, and she said to me, she said, you know, she goes, the one thing that I'm upset about is that mom gave us, always made us feel that we weren't good enough. And she goes, that's the fault of mom. And I said, that's not mom's fault. That was your own, that's your specific life lesson. And she goes, I know, but if mom wasn't the way she was, then I wouldn't have grown up with this feeling of not being good enough all the time. And I said, and I told her, I said, you know, mom helped facilitate this lesson that already existed within your soul. And it is now a false belief that you've made it into, and you have the power to change that. If you recognize, and I said the discomfort that you're feeling right now inside of your heart for the way that mom, you know, treated you or made you feel this certain way, is your soul calling itself to action. It knows that it is not your highest truth, and that's why it doesn't sit well with you. So now you have the power to change it. And she just like looked at me and she said, okay. But still, if mom hadn't been the way she was, I just said, and I said, I know, I know. And I told her, I said, your first step is that you're aware of this, but now just let yourself, just when you come home, when you go home later on tonight, just recall every experience that allowed you to feel like you weren't good enough, okay? And really let yourself feel every emotion from it, okay? And then know that it is no longer necessary for those emotions to be a part of who you really are, and let it go. And you've got to forgive mom. And you have to see that she came into this life with her own challenges. Like I told you before, you know, my mom has got really specific challenges that she's had to encounter in this lifetime as a parent and as a wife, you know, and you have to come from a place of compassion and know that every parent always does their best, regardless of how much love that they gave you or how little or how much or whatever. The deep part of their soul was always trying to do their best. And it could just have been that they had their own challenges that they were facing, you know? And just like you as a parent are always going to do your best, right? And my mother, you know, she was still trying to find herself when she was a parent to us. And so you have to forgive, and you have to forgive, because not forgiving is holding yourself back from who you really are, from allowing yourself to experience real happiness. And you are the only one that has the power and the ability to do that.
That is so true. Mm-hmm. So true. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean what you were saying. Please finish, because I know that but it's true.
Yeah, no, there was that. And I wanted to tell you that the other book that, you know, I'm reading simultaneously, the one that I think you've already read it before. It's The Personal Power Through Awareness by Sanaya Raman.
Raman? It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Listen, she says this, and I got really, and right before we started our show, she said, I felt, my mom said, open this book, I'm going to show you what to read. And so I'm going to share it with you. It says, pain is a powerful indicator of growth. It can be changed with love. And then Sanaya says, when you're in pain, you're often closer to your soul than at any other time. And as you learn to see energy, experience it more directly, the challenge will be to stay in your heart and focus on what is higher and finer in others rather than what is lower. And when you feel pain, it's an indication that some area of your life is not working. Some belief, thought, or emotion is crying out to be loved and healed. So I was like, wow,
that's
pretty
amazing. I know.
Yeah,
she's so good. She was, and I wanted to tell you about, you know, the experience with my friend that, you remember the friend that I told you about, the one that's kind of like a negative person and, you know, yes, but it was funny because I was reflecting on that right before we did this show tonight, and I just happened to turn to a page in this book, and it totally explained why I'm going through that situation. And I'm just going to share it with you right now because it was so profound for me. And I was going to call you, but we had to do the show tonight. So I'll tell you right now, because I turned to this page where it says, where she's talking about, you know, the experiences that you go through with your parents and in your families and how those, you know, we shouldn't carry that with us. Those are all false beliefs, you know, but they were brought about for a specific reason. And she says, finding your deepest truth means looking within. It means not blaming other people, not playing the victim, and not spending time feeling sorry for yourself. When you look more deeply at any situation, you can always see that you set it up yourself for your own growth. In any situation you feel you were a victim, you always had an inkling of what was going on, and you ignored the opportunities to change things.
Wow.
And it says, as you look more deeply at things that really bother you, she says, propose a thought. For instance, she says, nothing you are upset about is caused by what you think. And she says, for instance, you may be upset that your friend accused you of doing something you didn't do, which is exactly my situation. And it says, upon deeper examination, you will find that it is a recreation of an earlier pain played out over and over in changing scenery with different people until you resolve it. It may be a reenactment of a childhood drama in which you were accused of things you didn't do. Pain, anger, or resentment you feel now almost always comes from a similar childhood experience, and you recreate the pains that you can move beyond it. And she said, and I know. And she says, realize that you're reliving some childhood decision, and that now is an opportunity to end this pattern in your life and come from your deepest truth, and realize that other people are only drawn to play out certain roles to help you evolve. Let go of any anger or blame you have towards them and forgive. And I realized, I said, when I looked at the situation, my friend who was blaming me for something that I didn't do, I went, oh my gosh, when I was a child, this is a reason, another lesson of why I didn't trust. As I told you, the story of my childhood of being blamed for things that I never did, you know, of things being stolen, things, you know what I'm saying? Things happening to my siblings. And I was always to blame. Even though I wasn't even home, I would be to blame for, and I would be punished severely for everything. And I was like a scapegoat in the family. And that was really hard for me to go through, of always living in fear and never feeling that I could trust my parents to ever believe a word that I said, or to trust that my siblings would ever believe me either. I thought I had resolved this. Apparently not, because now I've brought about this experience with a friend of mine. And so just at the moment when I read this, I told myself in my head, I forgive her. And I forgive my parents, and I forgive my siblings for this, and I release this, and I let this go, and I understand the lesson that is being presented to me, that I can trust now, I will. I mean, it's like, it's so firmly ingrained in me now that I will. But yes, it was just so synchronistic that I turned to that page, because I was wondering, you know, about this, going, why did I need to go through this with my friend? You know, what was the purpose of that? Because that just came out of the blue, even though I knew she was kind of like a negative person and kind of on the, you know, living a challenging life. I said, why did it need to, happen in this way? I knew it was the right thing for me to do, to, you know, to cut off ties with her. But why did I have to go through this specific thing? And then I realized, oh my gosh, she just did what I went through in my childhood. I get it now.
Wow. So it's like you were taking energy from the past rather than the current situation, right? She mirrored something that you needed to heal. Wow.
Yes, I know, right?
Right.
That whole thing of always being accused for things I didn't do, I mean, really had an impact on me, and I thought I had healed it. Once you make the decision to forgive and to heal things from your past that no longer serve your higher purpose now, you will start to see synchronicities happening in your life that the universe will bring about to aid in your journey, to aid in your process. And this absolutely happened. I was like, wow, okay, I asked for it. You know, I asked to really heal. And so now this has happened, and okay.
Yeah, so when you look at it from that perspective, it's great. So you asked to heal and so you could learn to trust. I asked for worthiness. So all the, you know, the men that I've had relationships, all the men, it sounds bad, but the men that I've had relationships with, some of my friends, you know, dancing, because I love to dance, ballet and jazz, I'm like, do I measure up? And instead of asking, do I measure up? Do they measure up to me, you know, the men in my life, or, you know, or the friends that I choose, or the dancing? Does this represent me? Not do I do a good job representing this? Not that you need to do that in dance, but you just be the best you can be. But it's something that I'm really, 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 really taking on. Do they represent what I want in a relationship with anyone, you know, whether it's a friend or a significant other? Do you find that to be true with you? Because you probably just do it automatically. For me, I'm learning to ask that, you know what I mean? So if your issue is trust, how would you look at that? Do you just say, I'm going to trust and not doubt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, oh, I wish it was that easy, right? I'll just trust and not doubt.
No big deal.
Yeah, I know. It's growth, you know, it's the most difficult things always have the most profound impact, the biggest lessons, right? The biggest gifts, the biggest return.
Right.
And I wish it was that easy. I have to remind myself that and you actually helped me with this, to trust is to love. And if I truly love someone, if I truly love myself, if I truly love myself, then I have to trust. Because if I don't trust, I am preventing myself. I am holding myself back from experiencing what true love really is. I am not giving myself love. If I don't trust situations, if I don't trust the people around me, and that is really what unconditional love is. It's not, you know, you have to come from that place. I recognize that. I said to myself, if I really loved myself, then I would allow myself to trust. Because when you don't trust, that means you're living in a fearful state, right? You're afraid. you do things that are stemming from ego, from fear, from anger. If you don't trust, you're always kind of like on the lookout for things, you know, and that's a difficult place to live because you're always worried. You're always you know, looking out for the walls to come crashing down, and that's not loving yourself, and that's not loving others.
That's very true. Wow.
It's difficult. I know. I have to keep reminding myself. The instance when I feel like I don't trust something, you have to catch yourself. It's like those neuro associations that you and I have been talking about the last couple of weeks. It's like I have to remind myself, you know, and how I do that is with the negative energy that I feel. I go, oh my gosh, this is the negative energy. This is not where I want to be. And then I have to give myself a pep talk. This is a false belief that you are releasing, that you have released, that no longer serves you. And now live in your true self.
Wow, that's beautiful. Corrine, I tell you, today with the worthiness, one of the things that I said to myself, I was like, okay, share something with me. I was talking to my angels, and my mom has been with me, her energy, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful soul. And look, and the message was, look who your creator is. How can you be anything less? I'm like, yes, what a great.
Yeah, I mean that. You actually said that to me the other day, and it was really profound. You actually said that to me today. You said to trust is to love, and love is what God is. And so, if we are all one with God, if we are visions of God, be like God, and that is to come from a place of love and trust, because He trusts in us and He loves us. And that really resonated with me. You know, and it's one of my reminders now that I keep, you know, in my little toolbox of spiritual enlightenment. I remember that, you know, because I see how damaging my lack of trust, you know, did to all of my relationships, my personal relationships, my friendships. And it was just, you know, something that really didn't serve me in my highest place of truth. And I no longer need it, and so it's out of my existence now, or I'm working on it at least.
I like that. Yeah, it's always a work in progress, right? You know, one thing, and I think we got a couple callers. I'm not sure if they're still there. I hope they are. But you know, we've been watching Oprah Winfrey, you and I, on the OWN channel with her live class, and she said something: to live in truth, and to live in truth means living as close as you can to your creator or to your higher self, to your soul. She goes, when you live in truth, that means you can be the best you can possibly be. To live less than that, to live with, you know, not with truth, you're never going to be the person that you can be. Or she says it better, but remember that last night?
Yeah. I was like, yeah. And that forgiveness is a gift that you give to yourself. It's not a gift that you give to the person. A lot of times we think, you know, I'm not going to forgive that person, or I'm not going to forgive my parents or whoever has done me wrong, because I'm not going to give them that, right? I'm not going to give them the gift of my forgiveness. In actuality, it's not about the other person. Forgiveness is a gift that you give to yourself, because
yeah, you
by
do.
Doing that, you allow the beauty to come back into your life. You do it for yourself, not for the other person. The other person doesn't even need to ask you for your forgiveness in order for you to do this for yourself. You do this so that you free yourself from the anger, from the resentment, from the pain. You do this for yourself, not for the other person. And in turn, you release yourself from the karma of needing to go through that experience ever again. That's how karma plays with the whole forgiveness thing. But I thought that's something that really has always resonated within me, forgiveness, that you do this for yourself and never about the other person.
Well, I want to share this with you, and this is Sanai Raymond, Personal Power Through Awareness. And by the way, it was so funny because I got a dream that I was supposed to read this book again. One of my guides came to me and go, I've read this. Read it again. And you told me the next day, you told me the same thing. So I'm reading it again. You learn to love and forgive by putting yourself in situations that challenge you to be loving and forgiving.
Right.
Wow. So, yeah, so how cool is that? And remember, whatever you give yourself, you give others, is also a gift to yourself. So
that's right.
Yeah,
That's right.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, I think we got a couple callers, and we've talked a long time tonight, so that you want to take?
Sure. We've got Kim from Key Largo.
Hi, Kim.
Listening.
She probably hit.
Oh, I'm here.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
No,
how are you?
I've enjoyed listening, you know, because I grew up always trying to please my mother. But you know what? The way I was raised, I never really felt like I needed to forgive her because I always was taught that you respect your elders and what they say is right.
Right.
So I had to learn just to let it go.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Letting go is good.
That's a common one.
So good for you, Kim. I know you've had a lot of good experiences recently. What's going on with you? And share your question.
Mario, I had some communication, some miscommunication, and then one connection with him on Wednesday night. He did call me from Europe to see how he was doing and asked me to send him a picture of myself again, and I did, but I, you know, I haven't heard from him since then. Kind of weird. I don't know why he did that.
Remember we told you during our last reading, I think, just that we just had, that there would be this kind of like choppy kind of communication where it kind of felt disconnected for a while, right?
There was.
That's what's happening.
I got a text from him, but I didn't get it till I got up, and then I responded to him, and then he called me, and when he was calling me, I was in the shower.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I remember I was saying, I said, it doesn't feel like it's connecting. It kept kind of, couldn't put it, the energy together. It just kept feeling like it was very disconnected communication. Like, he would text you, you wouldn't get it. You would text him, and then he wouldn't get it. That's exactly what's happening right now. How long is he going to be in Europe for?
He didn't say. When he called me, I was in the middle of getting my hair done, so I didn't have any privacy. You know, I didn't want to sit there and talk to him, you know, I wanted to speak to him in private, so I talked to him for maybe a minute, and that was it. And he said, oh, please send me a picture. I was going to a party that night, a costume party. He said, please send me a picture. And I did when I got home on Wednesday, and I haven't heard from him since.
I feel like and I remember, Kareem, we told her this, it's situational with the misconnection, not emotional.
Right.
You'll hear from him again. It looks like you'll hear from him sometime this weekend because it's going to be easier for him to connect with you. You guys are super busy. I know that he's a big business guy, and you're an amazing businesswoman with what you do. But it feels like that he'll hear from him over the weekend sometime. That's what I get, because it'll be easier. But if he's in Europe, there's such a big time difference, too, so that's part of the challenge here.
Right, and I know that.
Yeah, that's what I feel. But I think that he is into getting to know you, okay? And you're into getting to know him, and so I see that happening.
Yeah, he's easing back into this. That's what's happening here. And so just allow it to play out. Continue doing the texts back and forth without any expectation right now, because he's going to, the more comfortable he feels, you're going to all of a sudden see him come full force, okay? Right now, this is like the distance and the processing and the feeling things out time.
Well,
okay?
He did say, when I first picked up the phone, he said, how come you never call me anymore?
Oh, that's nice.
I'm not going
that's really.
To that, but I'm,
I like
you know,
that.
I'm not, yeah. So I don't know. Any idea when he'll be back down here?
It feels like. Are you guys having a big Halloween bash? You at where you the place where you're at?
Yeah. Ocean Reef always does. Yeah, they do.
Okay. It feels like around the same time that he'll be back here. Okay, between the end. It's somewhere around the end of the month. Okay,
uh-huh.
That's what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I feel with him is that he's enjoying this reaching for you a little bit. So just remember that. He likes that you work. He likes that you're building a modeling career too as well.
Yeah,
building your career, working on your, you know, working. He enjoys that, and that he has to reach for you, and that you're not just waiting for his call. That is something that I'm sensing with him right now. So just to let you know.
Good.
Okay.
Good.
So good luck. You have to keep us posted and let us know what happens. So.
All righty. Well, that's all I got for tonight. Are you guys going to still chat or about what you were chatting about earlier, or are you just taking calls now?
We're taking calls now. So we've got one more, and then we'll And then listen in, continue, because we might have a couple more minutes to chat, but not much more. About 2 or 3 minutes is all we got, I think. So anyway,
okay.
Take care, Kim.
Alrighty. Have a good weekend.
Okay. Right, bye, bye-bye. Kim.
Bye, Corrine.
I think we've got Amy from Pennsylvania, right?
We do.
Hello.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, how are you, ladies?
Good. Yeah. I'm glad you stayed. I'm glad you've been listening. So anyway,
yes,
how are you?
I enjoyed it very much. I knew this was something I needed to listen to. I have just something little I want to share and a question. We don't have much time. But I did want to share. I personally did not have a relationship with my mother growing up because she was a very cold textbook mother. I know I've discussed this with you guys before, but I learned to accept who she is for who she is. And when I learned that, I let it go and I moved on with my life and I feel more comfortable around her. But recently, I think my biggest lesson with my mom, well, I don't know if it's a lesson or not, but just recently, within the last couple of weeks maybe, I realized that I am here to teach her. She's not here to teach me. She is learning how to love by watching me with my children, with my family, with our family. She is learning from me. And I think that is probably one of my biggest life lessons that I finally got, like, ding dong, okay, you got it. But I'm just very, for anyone out there, sometimes parents aren't there to learn, or they don't have kids, like, you expect to learn from your parents, but in fact, I'm realizing my mother is actually learning from me, as I'm, now that I'm a mother, and I'm older, and she's actually learning so much from me, and she's actually becoming a better person.
Wow.
Since the last time we talked. So I'm kind of excited that I finally got that.
That's
and
wonderful.
It came to me and whatnot. But the relationship mm-hmm. is getting better. Mm-hmm. But I just really appreciate the fact that now, okay, I'm here to teach her and she's actually learning and watching me.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. But she's also given you something in return, too, indirectly without you knowing it. You have learned how to show compassion and loving kindness to someone who didn't treat you with the most positive ways, right? Because that's what you're showing her right now, is that you have compassion and you're showing mm-hmm. loving kindness to her.
Yeah, she doesn't have compassion. Yeah. She doesn't have empathy, mm-hmm. sympathy. Mm-hmm. She has no emotions whatsoever, zero.
Amy, hold on 1 second. This is really, really important because Corrine just said it, but I want to share this with you. The Course in Miracles says every human experience that you have with another human being, okay, or obviously human being, is you're their teacher and they're yours. This is not one-sided. You are not the workhorse here to teach her something. She's also teaching you. When you get off this phone call with us, ask mm-hmm. what she's teaching you. Okay? Because you're not the only one here having to work and teach her a lesson. She's also giving you something back in compassion. That's one of them, and there may be more, but ask that question. That is a big message for you, okay? I'm like breaking out into a sweat. Mm-hmm. I was like, God, it's so strong, because you're learning so quick, and mm-hmm. you're teaching your little ones the same lessons that you're learning and have learned. So mm-hmm. just you know, just to let you know. So,
okay.
I know you had a question too, as well, and we've got about a minute. Do you have a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to know. I'm still in process with my appeal. If you see my benefits coming soon, where do you see that at? Where am I standing with that? I guess
it's coming. It's coming. Timing is always difficult, though, right? But the point is that you're going to get it. I still feel that.
I do too.
Timing, yeah. Timing. What day is it today?
Mm-hmm. We got to be really hurry because we got to get off this
call. I know.
Amy, you're going to get your money.
November feels good. November. If I'm going to put like an energy part about this, the energy around the very, very end of this month into November feels strong. What do you think, Tere? That's what it feels like.
I'm going to go with
point.
You're getting it, and
that's
then just
the point.
Say that. Right, and the message that I'm getting is it's right there with you. So, you know, what she's saying is accurate. It can come earlier around that time, but you've got it. So just have faith. Mm-hmm. And hey, congratulations with your, what's going on with your mom. And Corrine, if anybody wants to contact us, they can go to angelcoaches.com, because that, and we've got a list of classes and websites, and our, and we have a call that's a manifesting call that's absolutely free for anybody that wants to participate. And so do you have anything to share before we say goodnight?
No. Oh, there goes your dog, and he's saying goodbye, too, and she's saying goodbye, too.
All right, Amy's dog.
Okay.
Thank you. I thought that was your dog. All right, well, no, that's it. Join us on Angel Coaches if you want more information, and we'll see you guys next week.
Take care, everybody. Bye.